Welcome to Interviews with Kimmy Rose and Donna Visaki, a lively and provocative conversation with some of the most dynamic change makers of our time. Be inspired by today's top metaphysical experts, authors, and speakers in the mind, body, and spirit arena. Get ready to ignite your beautiful spark and release the power within. Call Kimmy and Donna now at 888-627-6008.
Welcome to Interviews. I'm Kimmy Rose and Donna Visaki. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Kimmy. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday and happy belated Father's Day to all those wonderful fathers out there. And did you guys do anything on Father's Day? Anything special?
Well, we went golfing yesterday with my son and his family, and that was really fun.
I said that yesterday. I said, I bet I had a feeling that you would be golfing. And the guys went golfing yesterday morning, and I got a nice little, Rudolph nose from sitting out in the by the pool. But spent a nice day with my dad, and then I do another radio show, and I did a game as how well do you know your daddy? And I got all but one, and the only thing I got wrong was the color, his favorite color. So I was pretty proud.
Oh, good.
but a lot of it's been interesting because there's a lot of energy. We had a full moon.
Yes.
And that full moon tipped out some of the sacred energy of people, spilled it out a little, and people are kind of now, like, I think it's kind of cool, like a cat, and here we're going to have Betsy, tipping sacred cows. Betsy, is it Chassie?
Chassie, I think.
Chassie, yes, tipping sacred cows, and it was interesting as I, saw additive, it's funny, it's love, additive love, love is added, and so it's like, I'm thinking of a cat, if you spill a little milk, that cat's right there licking it up, and it's and it was appreciation, and I wrote something, and I wanted to share this because it's something that my daughter told me, and I had been going through, and I never want to I don't hide. People think that you're intuitive, you're a teacher, you do all this stuff, and you therefore you are perfect and you have no issues in your life. And I gotta tell everyone out there, if you want to become an intuitive and you want to become a teacher, you might accumulate more, but that doesn't mean that you won't handle them differently, because once you gain that wisdom of how to process things, it's just different. It's a different grace that flows through you. And I had some things go on with my son, and things that challenged me, words that really brought me to go within and ask myself, okay, is this the truth? And it was very simple. No, I don't think so, but please give me an answer. My daughter called me, and it was really interesting. So I wrote something, and I really want to tell people, always say back to anyone who speaks angry words, I love you. When you say I love you, you're also saying you love yourself. That's one of the most important things in the world, is not only being a constant to others, but also a constant to yourself. My daughter tells me that I'm a constant in their lives, in many people's lives, and that's why people tend to take little things out on me. I feel like I don't have it in me to handle it sometimes. But I do. When I went through my near-death experience, I changed. When I do this show, sometimes I can play tough. I may seem like I know it all, but I humble myself so that everyone that listens can feel my heart and to really feel the promise that I made. And that promise that I made when I came back was to teach people we are one. I'm loyal, loving, and honest. And to a fault that doesn't feel human. I feel anger for a few minutes and it passes away from me. I feel pain and sadness and I put it in the hands of God. I'll never let you down, nor will I lie to you. Humans by nature don't know what to do with someone like me often. So sometimes they test me and figure out I'm not going anywhere. And they don't know where to go. So they use their words. I promised God to walk this path. When I died, he sent me back with that task. I pray daily to make myself an instrument of peace. I want to just tell everyone in my life and everyone that's listening that God only puts angels on this earth, that each of you is special. You have a special reason. And it's through releasing the judgment of man's perception of truth and feeling one's own truth that you truly remember who you are. I know he's got a plan. I know he has a plan. Or she. Delve into it. It's time. That's what I wrote.
Oh, Kimmy, that's beautiful. And thank you for being so honest. You know, and open with people in that, because I think that's a really important, and that's sometimes we think that we have to shove all of our feelings and everything down inside of us and everything, and we can't share with people, and we can't be angry, and we can't be this, and we can't be that, and everything. And I think it's really important that we be authentic in who we are. So thank you for sharing with us.
It makes it, you know, when you can be authentic, and I know, I don't know if you've been through this challenge, and I wanted to just talk about this just for a minute, is when you go through this experience of becoming a teacher and standing up in front of people and teaching this huge revelation, often people start to put you on a pedestal. And then when you have an issue or you're crying or you're upset, it's not they feel it, but you start to feel like, oh my gosh, I can't be human because what will they do if I am weak? It's in those moments that I think that we all recognize our humanness, and you wouldn't be in your body if you didn't choose to experience those emotions and feelings. And so I want to just, so anybody out there who really is feeling a lot of pressure as a mom or a dad or a grandparent or a wife, a daughter, a son, or even a teacher, the greatest thing you can do is be honest with people. And you know what? If they're leaning on you for perfection, there's something inside them that's not willing to accept their own perfection. And that is the truth. And you can love them, bless them, smile at them, and just show them who you are. And you will see great changes happen. That's so true. It's the most important thing that we can do in the world.
Well, and I think part of it is recognizing our own imperfection as well. I mean, we're human, and we don't do things perfectly, and we make mistakes. And we react, and we have emotion and everything. That's what makes us human, and that's one of the wonderful things about us. But recognizing our own imperfection at time, our own humanness, and learning to love ourselves for it, I think is critical. And you know, what's interesting is we're going to have this conversation with Betsy Chassie coming up. She'll be joining us after the first break. She's the author of Tipping Sacred Cows and that. And she talks a lot about really discovering who we are and that. So stay tuned, because it's going to get really good. And
are we going to go to a break?
No, it's too early for a break.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to try to test something out at some time of the show. And I have this lovely ability to play songs, you know. So, I heard this wonderful song, and it was by John Lennon. Have you ever heard the song God by John Lennon?
I don't know if I have or not. Probably.
It's about God being a constant. And he actually wrote it before he passed away. And it's so beautiful that I put it as I actually put it on my phone as a ringtone. And I'm going to try to play it if we have a moment, I'd like to do that. It only doesn't, it's not long. You mind hearing it?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. I'm going to try, skip the advertisement. We might have, there we go. Let's see how well I can do with my, here we go.
Are you looking to live a more expanded and balanced life? Do you hunger for information about the mind-body-spirit connection? Hi, this is Donna, here to share how you can ignite your passion for expanded living with Bella Spark magazine. Bella Spark brings you informative articles on spiritual evolution, alternative healing, sustainable living, diet, nutrition, life after death, and cutting-edge developments on topics such as the quantum field and more. With each issue, Bella Spark magazine shares in-depth feature interviews with the most prominent voices in the spirit, mind, body arenas. Popular food bloggers bring you new and delicious recipes, and each issue provides the information, insight, and inspiration you need to reveal and nurture your own unique, beautiful spark. Subscribe today and get your first issue free, only $15 per year. Ignite your spark and live your life on purpose. Sign up today at bellasparkmagazine.com.
Kids are going through challenges more and more these days, and Bedford Public Schools and the community has joined together to celebrate Bedford on Friday, June 27th, kicking off the evening with fireworks, and Saturday, June 28th with a parade, a color run, and Matthew Caracas from the band Citizen, Sam DiArmond, Chris Caracas, and others during the day to pay respect to the many kids who've passed away from Bedford Schools. And in the evening, there will be a concert, a tribute to the Eagles. Tickets are $7 to raise money for a Tree of Life to be placed in the courtyard at Bedford High School. Purchase tickets at Light the Way by calling 734-854-1514. Celebrate Bedford. Celebrate life. Are you interested in weekly guidance, classes, family retreats, and a support system that helps your family through the ups and downs of life? Go to KimmyRose.com and sign up for her weekly newsletter. Read articles that will lend support to your family and check out the weekly forecasts for you. Take a look at the week ahead. Kimmy Rose is the minister of Sanctuary of Light and dedicates her time to working with families with gatherings, a community garden, and space where you can spend quiet time.
Hi, this is Kimmy. If you want to get a hold of me for a reading, a crystalline consciousness session, or Reiki, or you're interested in classes, come and visit me at Light the Way. You can go to LITETheWay.com or you can call 734-854-1514. That's Light the Way, LITETheWay.com.
And welcome back to Interviews. I'm Donna Vasaki here with Kimmy Rose on Monday. Gosh, it's the middle of June already. Summer's flying by. But thank you for joining us today. And we are so excited to introduce to you our guest this morning, Betsy Chassie. She is a mom, a filmmaker, an author, a radio host, and a blogger, and also co-creator of the hit movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Betsy is an internationally known filmmaker, author, and speaker, and we're going to be talking about her new book, Tipping Sacred Cows. She takes readers on a playful romp through the muddy fields of spirituality, urging you to tip over your own sacred cows of belief and realize you do have a choice to believe the stories we tell ourselves or to create new ones. Betsy's funny, irreverent, and thoughtful in her exploration of all things spiritual. And she believes if we aren't laughing, we aren't growing and learning. Welcome to the show, Betsy.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
It's a pleasure talking to you. And I just wanted to let you know that I absolutely love the work you do, and your truth is amazing. I
Thank
have to ask you the question to start out is your book cover. It's beautiful. How did you choose
Oh.
that? Like,
I can't take any for that at all. It was totally designed by the Atria Simon & Schuster team, and they deserve, I thought it was awesome. I loved it. So I came up with the title, but they nailed the cover.
I love the cover. I love the glass of milk in that. And this is such an amazing book because it is so from your heart, and you let it all out, and talk about what's important. Let's kick it off when you got onto this whole spiritual place with the What the Bleep movie. How did that all get started, and where did it take you?
Well, the short story is that before I made What the Bleep Do We Know, I avoided all things spiritual as if it was like, the plague. I wasn't interested. I lived happily in what I would call my shoe consciousness, which was really more, interested in what kind of car I was driving and what kind of shoes I was wearing. And my understanding of reaching higher consciousness was high heels. And I was really a hired gun on
I
the
love
bleep.
it.
I mean, I got hired to make a movie for them called Sacred Science, which is not the movie we ended up making, and started out as a hired producer and ended up as a writer, director, and a producer. And where did it take me? It completely altered, my entire life. It completely changed everything for me in terms of what was valuable and what was meaningful, and sent me on a whole new journey that I spent about 10 years, lost in. And then, things kind of blew up again as they do. And now I'm in the same world in terms of really, seeking to understand my own meaning and my own purpose in life. But I feel like it took me a long time to even begin to integrate, what any of that stuff I supposedly knew about when I made the belief actually meant, if that makes any sense.
And it does take time to integrate that. I've been on my journey for the last 10 years as well. And you learn so much, and you get on this big bandwagon and everything. And then you really have to figure out what it means for you and what really works for you. And you talk a lot about that in Tipping Sacred Cows. About how what's spiritual, or what the New Age movement says is spiritual. What do you think that means now?
Well, I think that, so I should start out by saying that, I'm a little edgy and I tend to be, sometimes a fly in the ointment. I'm a rabble rouser. And, I think that so much good has come out of, a lot of movements. I just did a salon panel discussion the other day about feminism. Where is feminism going now? And I think that, movies like The Bleep and The Secret did so much to bring about a greater awareness of some new ideas and concepts that maybe people thought were crazy and fringe. I mean, nowadays this is the year of the metaphysical and spiritual and religious films. I mean, these concepts that we talked about in The Bleep, at the time they were like crazy, and now they're pretty mainstream, a lot of the stuff that we talked about in terms of neuroscience and physiology and how your brain works and all this stuff is pretty like, yeah, no kidding. And I felt like, for me, what happened is that, I lived this life thinking, okay, I create my reality, I'm this, and here's how the law of attraction works. And for a long time, and I felt oftentimes like, well, I get what they're saying. Like, logically, it makes sense, but I'm not really sure it's exactly as easy as they make it sound. Like, we're in this phase where we want a three-step to everything, 5 steps to enlightenment, 6 steps to losing 10 pounds. And it feels like we've gotten into this place of, like, not really wanting to do the dirty work. And I certainly got there, too. and where I thought, oh, I can just make a vision board and everything will be great. And what happened is my life came crashing down because there was no substance in that. There was no real work that I was doing. I was just making pretty vision boards and, you know, screaming affirmations at the top of my lungs until and thinking I would believe it. And really part of what Tipping Sacred Cows is about is really deciding that it was time to do the work around what do those concepts mean. And in the book, a sacred cow is essentially, either is something that you hold sacred that you won't question, that just is. And we have a lot of sacred cows around our belief systems around who we are, ourselves, and our lives. And then we have a lot of sacred cows in the New Age New Thought movement. And one of them is, what does it mean to be spiritual? And everybody seems to have a definition. And if you don't fit their definition, then you're not spiritual. And I finally came to the conclusion that life is inherently spiritual. You are, the moment you land in this reality, you are having a spiritual experience. Nobody gets to decide this is spiritual and that isn't spiritual, and there's no judge. I mean, there's no committee making those choices. And so it gave me a little bit more freedom to live freely and authentically because I didn't have to decide if I was being spiritual or not.
I love this quote. It says, quantum physics is the study of the nature of reality. It is not a philosophy. It is not a religion. It is not a reason to stop taking your meds.
I love that.
We have a tendency to take these concepts and put them outside of ourselves as if they're some sort of panacea, as if understanding the Heisenberg uncertainty principle is going to give you the answers to life. The thing is that I call it mental masturbation. You know, it's all really cool stuff to know. And quantum physics is a great metaphor for us in terms of how we can use it to live our lives. But, you know, it's not going to really give you what I think life is for, which is to really find your meaning and your purpose and to live that. And quantum physics is cool stuff to hang out, you know, to throw out at a dinner party when you're trying to pick up on the hot, you know, physicist across the table from you. And, again, it's a great metaphor.
That's true.
You know, but you have to really live your life, and it has to be more authentic. And I think we get caught up in these concepts, and then all of a sudden we think that's it. They're going to fix it for us. Just because I understand quantum physics means that now my life is, you know, I don't have to really pay attention to anything else because I've got it all figured out. Well, one of the main tenets of quantum physics, or a quote anyway, that I can't remember if it was Einstein or Niels Bohr or one of those guys said, you know, the minute you think you understand quantum physics, you haven't understood a thing. And, you know, that's really the metaphor for quantum physics is for life, is that the minute you think you know, chances are you're going to realize you don't know anything.
I'm reading one of your chapters in your book, too, and it says, because if the law of attraction, that idea that we manifest our realities based on what ideas and energy we project out onto our world, is all it's cracked up to be, then chances are you're going to create a reason to face your fears one way or another. So it might as well be on your terms. So we are creating our reality, correct?
Well, so here's the thing. I mean, yes. You know, there is a phenomenon that occurs in terms of collapsing reality, and post-materialism, the materialists would say one thing, the materialists would say another. But, you know, it's not like you're going to sit there and focus so and meditate so hard that a Mercedes is going to come flying out of your ass that you can, you know, manipulate matter on that level. Most of us cannot. Like 99.9% cannot manipulate matter. It's possible, but it's so hard. But what you are doing, and what to me is more empowering, is to know that I have a choice in how I perceive matter. So maybe I didn't create the chair that I'm sitting on. You know, maybe I went to the store and bought it, mass to mass, but I didn't create it out of thin air. But I get to choose my experience of the chair. I get to decide, well, how does the chair feel? Is it soft? Is it comfortable? Is it make me feel, you know, cozy? Is it lumpy? You know, I get to choose those perceptions. I mean, Amit Goswami who's in the bleep, and I love him, you know, talks a lot about the sea of potentials. This is another great metaphor from quantum physics, that everything is a possibility until it collapses into a reality. So if that's true, then the way I perceive it is that I'm not collapsing the chair. I get to see, I get to stop and say, well, how do I choose to perceive this chair? What's the best, what's a choice that's really going to fill me with joy or create an experience that I really want to have? And then I get to decide that. Or, because, you know, and that's empowering. You know, you get to choose your experience moment by moment. It's entirely up to you. You are in entire control of your experience.
I totally agree with you, and do you feel like the most important part of that is staying present?
Well, it's being present and aware. I think the biggest thing for me is that, you know, I've stopped really worrying about what is consciousness. You know, there's lots of scientists, cool scientists out there exploring what consciousness is. And I've interviewed some really great physicists who've said to me, look, we're 300 years behind on the study of consciousness. You know, we're not really, we don't have the, we have ideas. You know, you have to dream first, and then you have to sort of build the dream in reality. And that's really what physicists are doing in terms of discovering consciousness. But, so, what we have is awareness. The ability to be aware of what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, and then we have the ability to say, I don't really choose that experience. I'd like to choose another one. And you can only do that by being aware. One of the things I find really fascinating, and I'm sorry, I'll yammer forever, but I feel like it's so important, is that I feel like a lot of the New Age movement talks about the idea of getting out of your body, you know, and transcending this experience. And I totally disagree with that. I think it's super easy to have an out-of-body experience. We do it every night. The trick is to have an in-body experience, to be able to connect deeply with this experience through this amazing tool that we've been given called a body and a brain, and to really learn how to operate that. Because most of the time, we're just on autopilot, and we're not even choosing our experiences. We're just running the program. And you're just bouncing, bopping around in your day, and you don't have any say in anything. It's only when you stop and go, oh, I'm frustrated because I'm stuck in traffic. Now, I can choose to continue to be frustrated, or I can choose a different experience. That's becoming aware, and that's becoming sort of, I call it, you know, the CEO of your brain, being in charge. And to me, once you get that awareness, that's when you transcend the experience, because I look at it as that you're transcending the operating system. You're now inserting your own operating system into the mix, as opposed to just running on autopilot.
I totally agree with that. I think I was funny. I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but that's exactly what I was writing about. It's like, it's about going within. And also, don't you, I mean, the movie, you know, the movie and your book, it's like, it makes so much sense as to, we chose this body to live in. And when you say mental masturbation, I love that. I mean, some people might go, you know, and gasp, but to me, that's true. We actually choose to mentally masturbate, you know, and how much, and after a while you get worn out. And so,
right.
Can I ask you, like, I mean, you know, a lot of gurus and people that will say, you know, do this, do that, do this, do that. You know, I personally feel like that we each have our own way that works. Do you have a discipline that you keep in your life?
You know, I'm really undisciplined right now. I sort of walked away from all the disciplines because I felt like the disciplines were becoming the escape. And it becomes something that we do because we have to, and because, oh, if I don't do this, then I won't be. And so, you know, I'm actually slowly getting back into doing some disciplines for myself because, you know, you need a break every once in a while, because what you have to do is there's a lot of great ideas out there. You know, meditation is amazing. You know, mindfulness is amazing. So the trick is that, you know, you shouldn't take these things on and said, okay, I have to do this, and then if it, and then force yourself into it. You have to really find this is working. So for me, as an example, like at the minute I tell myself to sit down and meditate, like, you know, that's just might as well be saying no to a kid in a candy store. You know, they're going to, like, go berserk, right? My body just goes, wah, you know, forget it. So I don't stop and say, okay, now is my meditation time. You know, I, you know, get up and I do my thing, and then all of a sudden I go, oh, I want to have a walk, or I would like to do the dishes, or I would like to do something. And then in that action, for me, I, you know, it's like doing yoga. I get my body busy, it starts moving, and then I go into a meditation. And so that's my practice, you know. But that not be right for you. You may need to close your eyes and sit there for 3 hours, and that may work for you. I mean, the thing that we have to accept is that, you know, there's this great quote floating around that says, you know, just because I am living my life my way and it's not your way doesn't mean I'm lost. I mean, first of all, we're all lost. Okay, we're all lost, and that's cool. The thing is to be cool in being lost and be okay with your being lost, and then to look at the other person and go, you know, okay, I can offer some advice here in terms of if they're looking for guidance and what they might do, but at the end of the day, they have to find it themselves. You know, they have to make it work. And when you do that authentically, then things start really happening. You know, things start really moving. You know, it's, you know, because, like, for me, you know, I would make vision boards, and I would sit there with my friends and we'd make vision boards, but I never asked the question, why am I making this vision board? You know, what is the meaning behind this vision board, and what is it value? What is the value to it to me? And those are the ugly conversations we don't want to have, because, you know, we have this programming that, well, I should believe it until I am it, and I should, you know, walk around and fake it until I make it. But if you're faking something that isn't authentically you because you think you have to be that way, then it's not going to work. I mean, I've said so many people who for years and years and years have said, I'm living the law of attraction. Well, first of all, you can't not live the law of attraction. Like, it's not like it's a switch you flip on and off in your body. Like, well, today I'm going to live the law of attraction, but tomorrow I'm not. Like, it doesn't work that way. So that in and of itself is silly. For me, it's really about, what is the meaning that I'm attaching to these things, and why am I attaching that meaning? And so that's my practice. It's just really having a conversation with myself, really talking to myself authentically and honestly, and really understanding that that's a practice. Because when I'm really honest with myself, I can finally go, oh, like, I made this whole vision board about creating success, and what's wrong here, the reason I'm not successful is because I have a really shitty perception of what success means. I've attached it to money. I've attached it to fame. I've attached it to houses and cars. And I'm never going to see myself as successful until I redefine it. That's the why work. That's my practice, you know?
Yeah, and I will say this, when you say that, it makes a lot of it makes sense. And what I love about you is that the fact that you actually, you know, you do have a life, you live a life. And I think one of the biggest struggles, you know, I hear this all the time from people, and I don't know if you've heard this during your teaching, that people say, oh, well, you know, I can't do that because I'm not a monk and I have children and I have this and I have that going on. And I commend you for, you know, walking a path and really living that path, because to me, you know, we choose it, and why can't we do it? We can do it, but, you know, to me, I do have conversations with God in my head all the time, and I do what you do, and I think it's neat. I got to tell you something, though. My fiance saw the title of your book, and, you know, about tipping cow. You know what cow tipping is, right?
Right, yeah.
He goes, what? How spiritual is that? I go, well, that's not what it's about. I had to just tell you that because I thought you might kind of think that was funny, because I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's not it. But it's very spiritual, and it's an essence within. And I love how real that you are.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think I think we all getting. I think it's a really interesting time in the world, you know, because I think people are starting to really realize that all the stuff that we have attached meaning and value to, just, you know, really isn't it. And so, this desire to just be authentic is really coming through now. I mean, we lived through, you know, the 70s and 80s and 90s, which was really a time of just, like, excess, you know, just really a time of, you know, consuming. And I think, as a whole, humanity's pretty tired of it. You know, we're pretty exhausted, and we're like, oh, my God, I don't think I can, like, eat another friggin' donut. I can't do this. You know, like, I cannot buy another car. I cannot, you know, keep up with this. And I think just collectively we're all kind of going, okay, what else is there? And when you start to ask that question, what else is there, you have, there's a, we've already done out. Now we got it. There's only other one place to go, and that's in. You know, and that's it. It's like, well, you get to this place in life where, okay, I've done the outer. Now what? And what is what's inside of me? What, you know, what's the real meaning to all this? And you're seeing it. I mean, we see it in everyday life, you know, that these ideas are coming through. And for me, that's just really important. You know, I mean, like, today I wrote on my Facebook page because I'm just feeling crappy today. You know, I'm feeling really shitty today. I'm not in a good mood. You know, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And I'm feeling like I'm, you know, my purpose and meaning is buried in a mountain of crap. And, you know, I'm just, that's okay for me to say. You know, I feel better about being able to say that than, you know, having to sit on, you know, this is my second radio interview today and having to pretend to, like, have it all figured out. The truth is, you know what, we're not.
I was just talking about that. I love you because isn't it neat? Because as you're teaching, you are figuring it out.
Well, the thing, I was sitting there the other night with a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in, like, a really long time, and we were talking, and all of a sudden he looks at me and he goes, Betsy, listen, you're never going to figure it out. And it was so funny because humans, me especially, we want to figure it out. We want the answer. We want to be told and we want to know because that makes us feel safe. When I know, I'm safe. And you have to disconnect from that belief. That's a huge sacred cow. You have to disconnect from the sacred cow that somehow one day you're going to figure it out. They're never going to figure it out because it's just not, it's not figure outable because it's like, it's constant. It's constantly in motion. It's constantly moving. It's constantly changing. There is no staticness. It's kinetic and it's alive. And so, you know, how could you possibly hold one thing that's kinetic and alive and always moving in one place? You can't. So if it's not going to stay in one place, it can't be figured out. So the only thing that you can really do, to me, in my life, what I finally came to is, well, okay, the only thing that I can really do is be here in this moment and experience this moment and then go to the next moment and not have to sit, you know, hold on to this idea that somehow I'm going to know. You know, I might know something, and that's the thing about belief. You might believe something for now, but for me, it's also really comforting to know that belief does not have a hold on me. I am currently using it, and I might change it, and I'm free to change it at will.
I like that. I think that's beautiful. You know, and you talk a lot in the book about non-attachment. So what does non-attachment mean to you? I mean, we're supposed to be, I'm not attached to the outcome. I'm not attached to this. It's a real New Age thing. You know, letting go of all attachment to our stuff, whatever. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of the concepts, you know, the thing about some of these Eastern concepts is, you know, most of Western spirituality came from a lot of Eastern philosophy. And leave it to us Westerners to make it a romance novel about ourselves, right? You know?
Yes.
So we took this idea of, and then we simplify things, and we took this idea of non-attachment to mean that we shouldn't have any, that everything is just whatever, and I don't really care, and it doesn't matter, and I'm just going to smile anyway. Well, you know, that's, for most of us, not really possible. And if you meet people, and I tell lots of really funny stories in the book, you know, and I met this monk on a plane, and I had this whole hilarious experience with him where, you know, I looked at him and I was like, wow, this dude is like Mr. Enlightened. And I watched him get off the plane and pull Toomey suitcase after Toomey suitcase off the conveyor belt and go scream in his cell phone. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense, right? That's a disconnect in terms of the story that we've been told about what all this means, right? And what really, for me, this is what I came to my own interpretation about non-attachment. It goes back to what I was just talking about, change. In Buddhism, they talk about impermanence. Okay, impermanence is that nothing will stay the same. So in the sense that you are aware that things are going to change, holding on to them too tightly is only going to cause you suffering because you're going to always be suffering the loss because it's going to change. The person that you met and fell in love with 3 weeks ago is not the same person who's sitting in front of you now. We are always changing. So in the sense that you can have that understanding, that's non-attachment. But that doesn't mean that you should not have the emotional experience around that. It doesn't mean that you devoid yourself of feeling and experiencing every possible experience to the fullness that you can. It just means that you have to accept and understand that this is where you are in this moment. I am, you know, it's like I love my children. I will always love my children. I'm kind of attached to them, you know. But they're not going to be the same for the rest of their life. They're not going to be there. They're not going to be, you know, a baby. They're not going to be a toddler. They're not going to be a preteen, which is super cool because my preteen is, like, she's barely hit preteen, and I swear to God, I'm saving up for boarding school. So, like, these things shall pass. So that's the concept of non-attachment that you have to, that's the distinction. It's the nuance. We forget to get into the nuances of these concepts. So have your experience. Love your children. Love their experiences, but also love that it's going to change. Love that new guy that you just met. Fall madly in love with him. Just taste and smell and feel all of that beautiful process that you're in. But don't hold on to it so tightly that you don't have the opportunity to experience the next.
So what does it mean to live in bliss, Betsy? Is it possible?
Well, you know, again, I have a thing about language. A really wonderful teacher, shaman that I know, said to me one day, you know, the English language and Germanic languages are really kerplunk. They're just kerplunk because we've really, really lost the true meaning and expression of language. As a matter of fact, we're at a day and age where my kids talk in letters. You know, BBF, BFF, TTYL, I can't even keep up with it, right? So we're slowly but surely losing this nuance of language. And so, you know, when I say living in bliss, people automatically think, oh, that means you're happy all the time. It's actually not, that's not what bliss really means. Again, I like to go back to where do these concepts come from. And, you know, bliss means really to see things from all sides. And if you're going to have that experience from all sides, then bliss is not about happiness at all. It's about being in the moment in the experience and fully having the experience, which sometimes means you're hurting. You feel pain. You lost a friend. You know, people would say, oh, she's not living her bliss because she's very sad today. I look at bliss as being having the opportunity to experience sadness, to experience anger, to experience frustration, to experience, you know, being super pissed off at my boyfriend or whatever. As long as I'm aware that that is an experience that I'm having and I'm choosing that experience and that I can choose another one or move on, that's bliss. Bliss is not walking around smiling all the time, living in denial, wearing your, you know, rose-colored glasses and your bliss bunny slippers and going, I'm so happy. I'm fully in love with myself. When I see people like that, the first thing I think of is like, oh, they're just in denial. They're just completely ignoring life. They'd rather,
because
they can't deal with it.
You're
when I'm,
so right.
Yeah. And I'm reading your book again. It says, happiness isn't a pursuit. It's a state of being already existing within us. Happiness isn't the prize. We choose it, you said. I love that. We choose it.
Well, we talk about, you know, in our culture, we are told to pursue happiness, seek enlightenment, and find balance. Those are two big, you see those everywhere. And the big sacred cow in, you know, in the sort of metaphysical, new age, new thought world is that everything that you're looking for is within. So if everything that I'm looking for is within, why do I have to seek it, pursue it, and find it? I already have it. It's just a perception shift. I don't, like, even today as I'm sitting here cranky at the world and pissed off if things aren't going my way or whatever, you know, that does not impact my foundation of sort of happiness. It may mean that I am not as joyful today as I might have been yesterday, but happiness is something that I always am. How friggin' lucky am I that I get to get up this morning and be cranky at the world? What a great opportunity to experience what that delivers for me.
I am not going to disagree with you at all on that, because I really feel like this morning I woke up and had some things happen last night. And what I got accused of, and I'm not, don't even know if I like that word, but I'm going to share with you, is just, I learned the, put it this way, I learned the lesson that you are teaching this morning. And I learned it through my son, who said, you know, you do this, you put on this, this is what you do. Although Donna did stay with me and saw that a lot of what I do talk about is real with the kids and things like that. But he kind of gave me crap for not being crabby. And I thought, you know, I'm going to show my emotions everywhere. And I think I do that. And it feels good. Not to have, you put these expectations on yourself. No wonder people have expectations. They get so much pressure. You can't live up to that. You're living on Earth. You know, you're living
on
Earth.
Well, that's the thing.
It's huge.
We've set up these rules about, you know, these expectations that we're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to do this. We're the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, right? And then you feel like it's like a big sacred cow for me is this concept of loving unconditionally. You're supposed to love everything and everyone unconditionally. And then you put that on your list, like, okay, I'm supposed to love everybody unconditionally. And then 5 minutes later, you do not love the person that just cut you off on the freeway unconditionally. You were pissed off. So then you go, oh, my God, I'm such a bad person. I'm not very spiritual because I didn't love that person. And then you judge yourself. And then you get in a vicious cycle because you can't. Like, I can look in the mirror and I go, oh, my God, I have, you know, I have a fat ass. That is not loving myself unconditionally, right? And then I go, oh, I should love myself because now I just sent terrible shockwaves of hate through my body and now I'm going to give myself cancer and now I'm miserable, right? Like, this is the program that we're running, right? So I just stopped and I just changed. I said, I am no longer going to try to love anything unconditionally because it's just, I'm just setting myself up for failure. All I'm going to do is practice acceptance and allowing. And if I don't accept and allow, then I can laugh at myself and go, okay, that was funny. You didn't accept and allow there, girlfriend. Woo! You know, boy, you are not accepting and allowing of your hips today. Okay, I'm not accepting and allowing of my hips today. Cool. Next moment. Next moment. Next moment. Next moment. You know, because we set these things up for ourselves, and they're unachievable. You know, you create a vision board around wealth and money and success and love and babies. But then you don't sit down and go, what does this mean? Why do I think that having a baby is what I need in life? If I have a baby, I'll have a baby. If I don't have a baby, I won't have a baby. Because I've never really figured out how to explain this very well because it sounds so friggin' wooey-gooey, and I hate woo-hoo. I really do. You know, I hate whales in space. But, you know, I was sitting there with my honey's dad yesterday, and I was talking to him about trust. I don't like the word trust in the universe because that creates separation. There is no universe. The universe is just a replacement word for God. And, like, there's a chapter in my book called Who is the Universe and Why Do They Have All My Stuff? As if the universe is some divine vending machine dropping shit down for us. There is a trust that I have that things will be okay. I don't know where it comes from, but I have that trust. And I was trying to explain that to my friend's dad, who, like, really has no idea what the hell we're talking about half the time. But when I started to explain to him, you know, if I just chill out and I just allow and I just go moment to moment, things have a way of working themselves out. And he looked at me and he's like, Yeah, you're right. Exactly. I didn't have to, like, talk about the universe and the law of attraction and the unconditional love and the trust and the meditation. I just said, you know, when I just shut up and, like, chill and go moment to moment and hold on, have that trust that it's all going to be okay, it is.
That's beautiful.
Oh, it's so true. Yeah. It's so true.
And Betsy, we're going to have to end this wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was just delightful to talk to you. And I love your book. Tell everybody where they can find out more about you and where they can get your book and everything.
So you can find me at BetsyChaffee.net. And you can get my book at any bookstore. I always tell people, you know, whatever store you go into that you love to shop at, go there. If they don't have it, ask them and they'll order it for you. Of course, you can get it on Amazon. I am always partial to the little bookstore in your town, in your neighborhood, wherever. Go there and buy a book, even if it's not mine, because that's really, you know, how we're going to get back to this place that we all talk about wanting, and then we go shop at Ralph's and Amazon after we know it's looking.
Thank you. I have a little bookstore. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, but I love you for that. So,
you know, we have to support each other. And the only last thing I'll say is this is my new mantra, because I feel like the world is lacking a little bit of empathy overall, and we need to practice empathy. So if you ask me what my practice is, every person that you meet in the world, every encounter that you have, just remember this, their life sucks as much as yours does. They are so freaked out just like you are. So just remember that. You know, when you're really honest with yourself, you can say, holy shit, my life is really, I don't even know what the hell is going on. And they're having the same experience as you are. It might look different, it might smell different, and they might be wearing different shoes, but at the end of the day, we're all in this having a really tripped out experience, and we all need to just chill out on each other a little bit.
Amen, sister.
Thank you, Betsy. It was so good to have you with us today. We really appreciate it. Again, BetsyChassie.com, and the book is called Tipping Sacred Cows. You're going to love it. So, and we're going to take a real quick break, and we will be right back on interviews right after this.
Thank you.
Light the Way has been in business for 18 years. Kimmy and her mom, Carolyn, would like you to stop in and say hi. As well, our services of consultations, Reiki, massage, hypnosis, and CCT, we have a gift shop. Books, candles, and essential oils, jewelry, gift certificates are always available. Just 5 minutes from Toledo in Lambertville, Michigan, located at 8050 Sommerfeld Road. Call us at 734-854-1514. We're open 6 days a week. On call 24 hours a day for you at 734-854-1514 or visit www.lighttheway.com. Stop in or phone Light the Way for a psychic reading, massage, dream interpretation, Reiki, CCT, or hypnosis. Open 6 days a week and located at 8050 Sommerfeld Road, Lambertville, Michigan. We're just 5 minutes from Toledo, and our family's been operating for 18 years. We offer phone readings 24 hours a day by calling 734-854-1514 or visit lighttheway.com. Light the Way is still open? Then you can call Kimmy or her mother Carolyn for a psychic consultation, astrology, massage, Reiki, CCT, or hypnosis at 734-854-1514. You can also pick up a copy of Kimmy's book, Wake Up Your Intuition, The Sun, Moon, and Venus, a simple guide on how to get the most out of your man, Chicken Soup for the Power Mom Soul, and Bless You Book. We do telephone and in-person appointments. We are located at 8050 Sommerfeld Road, near the corner of Sommerfeld and Secker Road. Visit lightheway.com.
Welcome back to Interviews. I am Kimmy Rose and Donna Vasaki, and we were really, it was a blessing to have our wonderful guests. And I just have to say that I agree 100% with what she had to say. And it's funny how things flow so beautifully when you are tuned in, you know, you're plugged in to the matrix, and it is beautiful. Donna, you've got a lot more going on than I do right now. So why don't you share a little bit about next week's show, and then I will share about what's going on this weekend.
Okay. Well, our guest next week is Angelica Rose, and she describes herself as an angelic walk-in. So she's going to be really interesting. She's going to be sharing messages from the angelic realm, and we invite you to listen in. And then the following week, we have Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he's going to be talking about his new book, You Are the Placebo. So we've got some exciting guests coming up in the next 2 weeks. And then I just wanted to mention that last Saturday, this past weekend, we did the wall raising on the house that Christy built, celebrating community for Habitat for Humanity, and that was just the most amazing experience. We had like 50 people there, and we raised the walls, we framed in the entire house and everything all in one day, and talk about an amazing group of people. And it was so exciting to see this project really starting to take shape. And I want to thank everybody who has supported this in one way, shape, or another. I want to thank everybody who was there building and pounding nails and helping, you know, create these walls and everything. So much love and beautiful energy going into this house. So thank you, everybody.
And I have to say, it's on Facebook. If anybody wants to see the picture, you've got some pictures on Facebook, correct?
I do, at Donna Vasaki. You know, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a whole bunch of pictures. We had fun, lots of fun, and I was so sore.
I may have shared that on our Facebook too. So, so hopefully I did it right, and on our Twitter and all the other accounts. So check it out, because it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And go ahead. Do you have
I was going to say, tell us about what you've got coming up, Kimmy.
Well, this Sunday, and I have a sanctuary. It's called the Sanctuary of Light. And Donna had a chance to experience the wonderful energy there. We have a sound healing concert going on. And that sound healing concert will take place at 1:00 in the afternoon. And it's kind of like a brief class on sound, how you use toning to bring yourself into alignment with CCT, which crystalline consciousness technique is. So you're going to set techniques and find your, you're going to set your intention and your tone will come in. And so I'm really excited because the woman, Francesca, who teaches it, I'd love to have her on as a guest. She's really amazing. And then, after that, so 2:00, we will actually have a toning, and people will be able to chant. Like, it's gonna, not even chanting, it's making sounds, and you will walk out of there feeling like a different person. You can go over to kimmyrose.com, and I want to ask everyone to sign up for the newsletter, for the reason that I have some very, very important things that I'm going to send out, and I would love to share them with you. So please sign up for the newsletter that I send out, and I do send out a horoscope. This week is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a look at the week ahead, and it's this week is very important, very important. So with that, other things coming up, Celebrate Bedford. If you're in Bedford, Michigan, that's the 28th. It's going to be exciting. And who knows? We may be in your part of the country. So keep keep tuned in. And I can tell you, Angelica's wonderful. I've taken her seminars, and all I can say, Donna, is bless you. I love you. And the card I drew for you today, it was connection. So I think that means we do need to talk.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening and joining us today on Interviews. It's delightful to be with you. Have a beautiful, beautiful week.
Interviews with Kimmy Rose and Donna Visaki can be heard here every Monday on the PBS Radio Network at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Visit Kimmy on her website at kimmyrose.com and Donna on her website at bellaspark.com. Thank you for joining us today.